like to be in school? Can you remember back that far, Anna? What was it like to be in school? Not just in high school, but in grade school. Do you remember being out on the recess and, it was time to play a game and they're going to choose upside. You remember that? And normally the popular, something kids, they're the ones that got chosen for the team captains on each side and they would start to choose upside. Do you remember what it felt like to be chosen? Do you remember, and the really exciting thing was, if the important, popular person would actually look and say, I want Phil on my team. Never happened. Never happened for me either. Don't worry about it. That's why we are using our imaginations. Do you remember what you were hoping for? What you wanted to happen? And you thought, I would have felt 10 feet tall if I could have just been chosen first. But normally, it didn't happen. But how about later on when you were in high school? Oh, and popularity started to get even more important. And popularity started to be based on even more elusive things. Not just could you kick that kickball out there, but were you beautiful? Were you smart? And do you remember the dances? Prom, homecoming. And all that sense of, would somebody choose you to go to the dance? Oh, and that person that you wanted to choose you most, that you were just dying to ask, or you were just dying to say yes if you did ask. Do you remember what it felt like to be chosen? There are still ways that happens in our life. What it feels like to not just be chosen by someone, but be chosen by someone important and great and fantastic and wonderful. Someone that has all of the power and riches and authority and all of those things that we put such investment in. Well, our scripture starts this morning. God is saying some things to us. Some things through the scriptures. And I think it's interesting that God first puts forth in our scripture just exactly who God is. This isn't just anybody talking. This is the big wig. This is the ruler, the creator, the sustainer of the universe. Thus says God, the Lord who created heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it. And who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. There could not be anybody more important than who's talking. I am the Lord. The most powerful, the most popular, the one who has it all. And what does the Lord say? I have called you. Do you hear that? I have called you. You have been chosen. Now, so often when we read this particular scripture, and even this section of Isaiah, when we hear those words, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. Our minds don't immediately go to ourselves, now do they? In fact, this section of scriptures and these kind of language is one of the places that we often go to when we're reading for the Christmas story, when we put the Old Testament in there. And when we come to Christmas Eve services and Advent services, these scriptures, we tend to think about God is not talking about us, or even about the people of Israel who are in front of the prophet as these things are being said. Years before Christ is born, we always immediately jump to, this is about Jesus. God chose Jesus to do something very special. God chose Jesus in righteousness. God chose Jesus to take by the hand and to keep and to be a covenant to the people. This isn't about me. This is so obviously about Jesus. He is the one that gives sight to the blind and frees the captives. In fact, if you were thinking that way, you would be very on track. Because if you remember how Jesus started his ministry, one of the first things he did was he went to a synagogue. In fact, he went to a synagogue in Galilee, and it was in his hometown of Nazareth. And just like we read a scripture every day, and for those of you who know what lection is, we read a particular scripture that goes with a particular day. We get that, very honestly, from our brothers and sisters in the Jewish faith. Jesus stood up, and he was the one that read the scripture for that day. And it came from the book of Isaiah. And it came from a very similar section, although not exactly the same, of what I read to you today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Ooh, Isaiah loves these themes. And this is what Jesus read that day. And then he did something most dramatic. He said, "These scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing." People did not respond very positively to that. It would have been very similar, because not only do we think of the Messiah, who Jesus was, when we read this particular set of scriptures, the Jewish people had very much come to see these scriptures as prophecies about someone who was to come, the Messiah. All of this was going to take place at some time else in the future. It was a time they looked forward to, but not a time they expected to see themselves. It's very much the way we treat the book of Revelation. We treat the book of Revelation like it's just about some time in the future. Makes it not have a whole lot to say to us today, which I think is a real problem with how we treat the book of Revelation. But it would be like if I picked a section of the book of Revelation and I read it to you, and then had the audacity to say, "This has come true today." You'd all think I was nuts. You'd think that I was somehow claiming that the day of the Lord had come right this minute and that I was the only one that knew about it. That is pretty much how they felt when Jesus Christ had the audacity to say, "This has been filled in your hearing." Well, we know who Jesus was, and we know that it was true. It was fulfilled in their hearing because the Messiah was with them. But there's more to this scripture than its connection with Christ for us. There's more to scriptures, normally, than just one meaning. It's when we allow them to speak to us in our day and time that we stop making them prisoners of our original perceptions of them. But sometimes they can come to life. In the reading of Isaiah and the proclamation that Jesus made, he very much agreed with the Jewish people and with us that these scriptures that we look to so often about Jesus were indeed about him, and that he was claiming what they said as his mission and ministry. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus, within his ministry, says a lot of interesting things to us. Do you remember on the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says to us, to all who listen, "You are the light of the world"? That kind of goes back to some things that Isaiah is saying here. "I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations." Ooh, maybe it's not just Jesus who's called to be a light to the world, a light to the nations. And in the very famous scripture that many call the Great Commission, where Jesus actually commissioned his disciples in Matthew 28, says, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." Remember how that goes with the Isaiah scripture? "Thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, and who gives breath to the people upon it and the spirit to those who walk in it." That's the kind of power and authority that has been given to Jesus Christ by God. "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Jesus passes his authority on to us. Now, even though we have this scripture to go to and see that these things that we have so much applied to Jesus Christ comes around full circle and applies them back to us and says, in effect, those who've been called to be my disciples, I'm giving you the authority that has been given to me. And I'm giving you the ministry that has been given to me. One of the things that I think is very sad within the Christian faith as well as the Jewish faith is that we have tend to professionalize ministry. We've made ministry something that a few select, very talented and capable people in our minds. I mean, you know, I'm one of those people that you're putting in the category of very talented and capable. Think about it. They're the ones that can do the ministry. While all of us, you know, what can we do? This isn't about us. This is just about those professionals. It happened this way in the Jewish faith. These scriptures were written while Israel was in exile. And they were looking forward to a time when God would bring them back to their homeland, out of Babylon, back to Israel. And that everything would be put right. And God talked about a time when that would come. And that group of faithful Israelites that were hanging on in Babylon, far away from their homeland, far away from the things that they remembered, they were called the remnant because they were the small group of Jewish people who remained faithful in the face of it all. And they were referred to as the remnant. And one of the stories about this remnant began that the remnant would be brought back to Israel. And they would help the rest of the Israel people to come back to the faith in God they were called to. And they got that part really good. And there also became talk about the fact that God would send someone particular, a Messiah, that would help the people live out the faith and come back to the faith in which they had been called. The problem was they missed out the spreading out because it was supposed to go from the remnant to the whole nation of Israel and then to all the nations of the world. Remember that? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a bushel, but on a lampstand so all in the house can see. The idea was not for Israel to come back and get all safe and snugly together. We've got a great big group hug of, isn't it great that we are called and chosen of God? Isn't it great that God loves us? But they were to be a sign to the people. They began to see all of that work as the work of a Messiah that would one day come. And they missed out on their call and their commission. It became removed that when they heard these words, I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness, the only one they thought of was the Messiah. It has come to the point that when we hear these words, I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness, the only one we hear is Jesus. And we have missed out on that very special moment. Because although these scriptures talk of Jesus, that's not the only one they speak of. They also speak to us. Because just as God chose Israel, and just as God chose Christ, in Christ, God has chosen each and every one of us. When you hear that scripture, I have called you, that is exactly what it means. Look in the mirror. That's who it's talking about. I have called you in righteousness. You have been chosen by the Creator of the universe. You have been chosen. You have been called. Do you remember what it was like in high school? Oh, all the goosebumps and all the fear and all the wonder. Would you be chosen? Would somebody consider you special? Would they ask you to the dance? I assure you, you have been chosen. You are special. And God desires most in his heart to dance most specifically with you. I'm going to continue the rest of this at a later date. I won't be here next week. Charlie's going to speak for us. But there's so much more to say about each and every one of those verses. I want us to take some time to look at not only what it means to be called, but what it means for God to then say, I have taken you by the hand and kept you. Ooh. And this is the place where we might have a problem. And I have given you as a covenant. To think that that could be a possibility, but the language even there is about us.